Well, thank you for joining us in worship, guys. I'm really excited for the youth band and the accomplishments that they as a team have made together, and the progress that I've seen. Not to call you guys out, but I remember the first song we learned. It's like watching my 5-month-old son. When he first rolled over, it was a little messy. But eventually he got the muscle coordination. And it all of a sudden came together. Do you guys remember Undignified? Yeah, Mark, you remember Undignified, right? I will dance, I will sing to be mad for my king. Great song. Likewise, for the youth group as a whole, it's fascinating watching students grow in their relationship with Jesus as they own Jesus and tangibly live Jesus and breathe Jesus. And we're not done yet. Like, church, we're not done growing yet. And the students who have taken those awesome next steps in the discipleship process, they're not done either. And for your children who are in Awana, they're not done. And for, future kids who aren't born yet, biblically, I'm excited to see the King of Kings, the Savior, Sanctifier, the Healer, Coming King. I'm excited to see him do wonderful acts of grace and mercy and sovereignty over the next generation. So, hey, today is Grad Sunday. Today's Youth Sunday. We come together as a local body to celebrate the accomplishments of the academics that these students have accomplished and the next steps that they are taking, rather pursuing music careers or rather pursuing education. Either way, both avenues, both routes are God-honoring. Both routes are showing how God has individually and selectively wired these students and these individuals. And it's exciting. It really is. To see a student, I believe, medical field? Yeah. Yes, to see a student go into medicine and utilize her hands. It's like, man, that's Jesus. To see a student utilize his hands to bring praise and honor to Jesus through music. Man, that's Jesus. Just to see that exhibited and lived out tangibly is exciting. And, it's great that, myself as a youth pastor, to be a part of that process in any capacity, whether it's just through prayer, through dialogue, and to see you as a church body partner with these students as you release them locally and globally in the name of Jesus. So, well, I want to start off with saying, thank you for joining us this Grad Sunday. Rather, you're here with us today, or you're not here with us, and you're going to be watching this on your computer screen sometime later. Thank you for taking time and joining with us as a church. Graduations are exciting. The nature of grad parties often includes ambition, right? Right. You see people come to these parties asking, where are you going to go? What are you going to study? Who are you going to study with? There is an expectation that for the next set amount of years, whether you're pursuing an associate's, bachelor's, master's, doctorate, hard work and investment is going to follow, right? Thus, the nature of ambition within the grad party. Now, for me, I gotta be honest with you, I didn't want a grad party, and so I didn't have a grad party. Instead, I did the responsible thing, and I went to Las Vegas with my parents. Super cool, right? Now, I know what you're thinking. An 18-year-old Chris Secor is in Las Vegas. I got to remind you, I'm with my parents. So it wasn't as exciting as it sounds, but there was excitement. But what I love about Las Vegas, the reason I wanted to go to Las Vegas, if you are an avid outdoorsman or woman, Las Vegas has a lot of great opportunities for outdoorsy activities. I know you're probably thinking like, what? Yeah, no, seriously, there are. Like, if you're into slot canyons, if you're into rock climbing, if you're into deserts and sand and cacti, well, hey, they have the Mojave Desert. If you're into mountains, waterfalls, and more slot canyons and more waterfalls, you have Mount Charleston. So you kind of have the best of both worlds. You got a desert climate, and then you have a mountain climate. And within the city as well, there are some pretty fun opportunities. Again, 18-year-olds, Lane and Daniel, there's some pretty fun opportunities for you. For example, there's this thing called the stratosphere. You can climb to the tippy top of the stratosphere and you could jump off. You can pay money to have a little adrenaline rush and jump off the stratosphere. It is super fun. I wish I was able to show you the video of me jumping off the stratosphere, but I can't. Anyways, socially, we could probably consider a grad party in a sense kind of like a rite of passage for our young people. right? I mean, they're done with their adolescent years. They're done with their schooling in the high school years, and now they're moving on to college. It's kind of like a rite of passage. We equip our young people with finances to secure their educational processes. We give encouragement and we give recognition for their accomplishments over the past 12 years. All good things, right? All super good things. But when it comes, like when it comes really to the heart of the matter, especially in Western tradition and culture, we really do not emphasize or recognize the rite of passage like other cultures globally. I was reading up on some rite of passages, and I can't remember the ethnic group, but part of the rite of passage for a young boy to emerge into manhood, into adulthood, is to experience whippings and then jump over a bunch of cows. Yeah, that's a rite of passage. I don't know why, but that's just traditionally, that's what they do as a culture. We don't do that in America. We, you know, our rite of passages are often recognized maybe as sweet 16 grad parties, or maybe getting your driver's license or being allowed to vote. But what I want to emphasize here with us when it comes to rite of passage, and what I want to consider, instead of having an American lens or perspective or cultural lens or perspective, I want us to consider something else. The ongoing ministry of Jesus Christ. The ministry of Jesus Christ is both global and local. It trickles from the masses, right? It trickles from all of you to the individuals that make up Alliance Church and elsewhere. We see in someone's discipleship process, right, multiple rites of passages, if you may. For an example, if you have said yes to Jesus, that's a rite of passage into God's family. You are now united with Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, the old has gone, the new has come. Right? You are dead from your sins. You are no longer recognized as a sinner. Instead, you leave that behind. You are set apart from your sin, and now you are united with Jesus Christ. That's a rite of passage into God's family. Another example of a rite of passage in the discipleship process is baptism. That's another rite of passage. You're publicly stating, I am a Jesus follower. Even one of our core values here at Alliance Church, serve. Serve by using your gifts and resources. That, in its own way, is a rite of passage because it edifies the local church and it builds Christ's body, because the local church is Christ's body. Christ is the head of the local church. So what does this have to do, right? What does this have to do with Grad Sunday? And here it is, church family. It's an opportunity for you, an older generation, whether you're a traditionalist, boomer, Xer, even millennials, it's an opportunity for us to invest into the next generation of Jesus followers in grace and wisdom. The local church, especially here at Alliance, it's really unique. Little rabbit trail real quick. I am not a blogger by any means, so I'm a little bit of an anomaly when it comes to millennials. But to my credit, I want to tell all of you that I started the term iGen, but unfortunately, because I'm not a blogger, someone else is utilizing that term and gaining revenue from that, and not me. But what's unique about Alliance Church in particular and other local churches, you have traditionalists, you have boomers, you have Xers, you have millennials, and what I call the iGen. So within our cultural context, within our environment, we have five generations. And that is a lot of opportunities for the iGen, from a baby to a traditionalist, to shower grace and wisdom, to equip grace and wisdom, to embody grace and wisdom, and to show Jesus Christ in that capacity to multiple generations. So, super excited for this next part. I want to invite our grads up, Lane and Daniel. And as Pastor Ryan said, you know, Lane and Daniel, they've been invested into for a while here at Alliance Church. And I'm excited for you as a church body to hear how you guys have invested into Lane and Daniel, how grace and wisdom has been showered into their lives, how Jesus has been injected into their discipleship processes, and how you guys have genuinely invested in love on these students. Lane and Daniel, come on up, guys. You guys want to hear a joke? I don't have any jokes. Sorry.
Good morning, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Lane Newdy, and I'm a senior at Little Falls Community High School. And I've been going to this church for my entire life, and it's become like a second home to me, and you've all become like a family to me. I've been given many opportunities through this church to connect with people and grow in my faith. Big Sandy Camp was my first real exposure to Jesus. I accepted Jesus into my life at a young age at Big Sandy Camp, but at the time I wasn't sure what that commitment really meant. It wasn't until I became part of the youth group that I was able to grow in my faith. My first experiences in youth group were at Planet Wisdom and Life. Life was an eye-opening experience for me. For the first time, I was able to understand what it truly meant to follow Jesus Christ. I saw the love people had for him and the passion behind their faith, and I knew that I wanted that too. I opened my heart to him, and it changed everything. Another big part of my life was the missions trip to the Dominican Republic that we had 2 years ago. It was a life-changing experience for me. I was able to connect with the people there and share the love of God. What surprised me the most was that the people there had very little, like little to nothing, but they were still the happiest people I ever met. I realized that this was because they had everything they needed. Their fulfillment was found in their faith. They showed me what real love for Jesus looked like. Even though I went there to teach them about Jesus, they taught me more than I could have ever taught them. I'm sorry, I don't know why I'm crying right now. Last summer was my last youth trip, and we went to Missouri for Life Again. I already had my faith, but it just strengthened it, and it prepared me for my future and for college and what that would look like for me. As my senior year is now coming to a close, I've thought about where I stand in my faith. Next fall, I'm attending the University of North Dakota in Grand Forks to study nursing. I hope that with your prayers and my faith, I will be prepared for the life ahead of me. I just wanted to say thank you to everyone. Thank you, Ryan and Sarah, for everything you've done for me, from youth group to our trips to always being there. You gave me a foundation for my faith that will be with me for the rest of my life. I also want to thank the church for being with me since day one and growing with me all these years. You loved me like a family and taught me what it meant to be a woman of God. Thank you.
This is from Alliance Church family to you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Enjoy. Can we give one more applause? Thank you. You want a microphone?
I do.
Okay.
All right. As long as I cry less than Joey, we're going to call this a success. But the story starts a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, more commonly known as the late 90s, where there was a young woman expecting a baby. But she wasn't excited about her first child like you'd expect. She was dreading her third miscarriage. And scared as she was, she shared this with the woman in her Bible study. They prayed for her, they prayed for me, and quite literally, they haven't stopped praying since. 9 months later, I was born at the St. Cloud Hospital, and I was perfectly healthy, and despite my tripping and injuries, I've stayed healthy since then, so where was I? But then, 2 years after that, I had Joseph, and 9 months or so later, his first attempt at walking was coming to try to beat the crap out of me, so that's established the base of our relationship, and it's been the same ever since. But moving away from the beginning and everything, when I stop to think about it, this church has played a massive role in my life. Some of my earliest memories are over there in the parsonage being cubbies, or actually, yeah, I think it was over there, but and moving up through Awana and being a rather abnormal kid. I didn't like a lot of people my age, and the adults in this church and my Awana leaders especially, they played a massive role in my life there just because I would rather spend time talking with the adults that I looked up to than my peers. And there were people here who were willing to put the time into me that I needed to develop. Then we move on to the teenage years when I was having a lot of troubles in school, and then stepped into my life this guy up here. And to be perfectly honest, without what Ryan and Sarah did for me through the youth group, I would probably have ended up being a total wreck in my younger years. Just that I didn't go off the deep end somehow, or is largely in part because of Ryan and Sarah here and what they did. Just, I owe you guys a huge thank you. At the same time and as I started youth group, I also started really getting into music. And I started writing, and eventually people in the church found out about that and asked me to share with them. And their encouragement for my writing is a big reason why I didn't stop, and I'm still working on it and trying to do something with music. But if I could understand the concept of paragraphs, I'd know where I was. Okay, 4 years ago I started helping with WANA, and watching the leaders that are still there who had been my leaders and seeing how they put their time into the kids and in some ways doing the same things they had done, now helping with youth group, has really been an eye-opener for me, and just how much time and effort and prayer people all of this church pour into their young people. We really are blessed by everyone we have here. It's quite an amazing thing. And paragraphs again. And in the end, I'm standing up here, and the only thing I can say is thank you. Thank you, Ryan and Sarah, for everything you did for the youth group and what you've done and are doing for the congregation. And to be perfectly honest, if I was going to go through and individually thank everyone who I should be thanking, we'd probably be here till sometime this evening. And so to the congregation, to everyone who's ever prayed for me, who's ever encouraged me, who's done anything for me, whether you knew it or not, which, to be perfectly honest, most of you probably don't know just how much you've done for me. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. But now I'm graduating, and we've come to the sunset on the golden age, we'll say, where I have to grow up and be responsible. And just thank you. You guys have been a huge part of my life, and no matter where I go, no matter how far I go with the music I'm working on or how far I fall, or I know that you guys will always be here for me. Because I have a family here just as much as I do at home or with my blood family. Thank you. I owe you guys so much. Thank you.
So, on behalf of Alliance Church, this is for you, brother.
You wrote more than I needed to.
Oh, no, you did great, man. Well, thank you, students, for what you've shared, and thank you, church family, for investing in these students over the years. Thank you, Pastor Ryan and Sarah, for your investments over these years and the years to come. So, to get into the message, if you have a Bible or Bible app, turn with me to 2 Peter 3, verse 18. And this is 2 Peter 3, verse 18. So rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace and knowledge. In the Greek, grace means merciful kindness. So grow in merciful kindness. That's what we're called to do. Think of when you said yes to Christ for the first time. Go ahead, just take a brief moment and think of when you said yes to Christ for the first time. You know, you probably received grace. And you did receive grace. You received grace and mercy from God the Father through his son Jesus. You know, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's a very, very large statement to make. And so grace is accessible through Christ. Jesus is salvation. He is the gift of mercy. And now, little comedic, but think of the last time maybe you sinned, right? But we're all sinful people. And Jesus, in his kindness and his mercy and in his grace, he overlooks that. Your sins are as far as the east is from the west. You are not identified by your sins. You are identified as a Jesus follower if you have said yes to Christ. And we call that unconditional love. We call that agape love. Not only does Peter, though, tell us to grow in grace, but then he tells us to grow in knowledge. And knowledge here means come to know. Grow and understanding. So we have grow in merciful kindness. We have grow in understanding. We have grow in grace and knowledge. So we are to grow in kindness and understanding of whom? Jesus. Come to know Jesus. Because all of us, at one point or another, are going to, or are right now, have messed up in some pretty significant ways. Right? Maybe for some of you, it's an affair. Maybe for some of you, it's struggling with pornography or going through a severe breakup or lying or stealing. The point is, Jesus is big enough to handle those hurts and to begin a healing process in your life because Jesus exemplifies grace, exemplifies wisdom, and we as the local church have the opportunity to exemplify grace and wisdom because we are found and united with Christ. And part of that process, a big part of that process, is exemplifying the weaknesses in our lives, which totally goes against culture. Culture says highlight the strengths, right? If you have Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, whatever, you're often seeing the highlight reels of someone's life. You're not seeing the behind the scenes work of what's going on, of the story that led up to that picture or post picture. And the reason I say that is because I want us to consider the ministry of Jesus Christ. Consider the strength he brings and our weaknesses. Here's how growing in grace and knowledge then affects the next generation. Check this out. This is Psalm 78, 5-7. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children so the next generation might know them, even the generation not yet born, and they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. A rite of passage, if you may, for all of us, is to tell the next generation then the grace we have received from Jesus, the wisdom we have received from Jesus, and our hurts and our trials, and how we have exemplified our weaknesses because ultimately we have exemplified Christ. And this requires authenticity from all of us, whether you are an iGen or millennial or traditionalist, a boomer or an Xer. This requires authenticity and vulnerability from every single one of us in the local church. The ongoing ministry of Jesus requires us to be a catalyst in the passing of faith to the next generation. You cannot stop growing in Jesus. You can't. The ongoing process of our discipleship process, there's longevity to that I can't even articulate. And that's the beautiful thing about being a Christ follower. And we see what happens in Scripture when people stop growing in Jesus. We see the severity, in Exodus. God waited 40 years for an entire generation to pass away to usher in a new generation into the promised land. God is intentional. Jesus is intentional. Jesus is serious about us being a catalyst in the passing of faith to our young people. Jesus wants multiple generations. I mean, even in Psalms, we read that the unborn generation, right? Like, Jesus gets the big picture. Do we get the big picture? I think as a church, I think we have done a fantastic job. We hear it night and day how you guys have invested into the next generation. I thank you for that. Like, for me, I am passionate about that, and to see that tangibly take place here is an anomaly, and I love that. And I want to encourage you, keep striving for that excellency. Because Scripture warns us of what happens when we do. This is Psalm 78:8. Then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. Right? That generation, that Exodus generation that completely forgot about God and all the miracles like parting the Red Seas and then starting to build golden calves and worship Baal. They became stubborn, they became rebellious, became unfaithful, and they refused to give their hearts to God. Simply, God is after your heart. God is after intimacy with you because God wants you because he loves you. Right? And that love is embodied as an older generation. Like if you're a traditionalist, man, you have the sweet opportunity of being in a church where five generations are present, where you can invest in the iGen. And you don't have to do youth group. You don't have to do Awana, but you can partner with an iGen through prayer. Right? If you're an Xer, you can pray for millennial. You can disciple millennial. If you're a boomer, you could take an Xer under your wing. There are multiple ways because God is so intentional and serious because he doesn't want us to experience the consequences of the Exodus generation and our stubbornness and our rebelliousness and our unfaithfulness because God does not want us to have a heart of stone but a heart of flesh. God wants you because Jesus loves you. And I think there's a reason there for all of us to live out. Because if we stop growing in Jesus, we stop growing in grace and in wisdom. If we stop growing in Jesus, we stop growing in grace and wisdom. And if we stop growing in grace, if we stop growing in knowledge, we don't have anything to give to the next generation. God is passionate about people. God loves people. God wants people. God wants you. He wants you. He wants you. He wants you. He wants me. He wants us to know him. Because when we know him, like intimately know him, like to the point where we're in the trenches with God and we're going, Jesus, I don't want to do this. You know what I'm talking about when Jesus is calling you to a really difficult circumstance or going through a hard trial and Jesus is saying, I know. I have your back though. I'm here. When we allow that to happen, Jesus begins a transformational process that grows us in grace and knowledge. And we see the results in our lives. And we see those results in the next generation's lives, right? We saw that lived out in Lane and Daniel's testimonies, how through partnership, prayer, through finances, through investment, through mentoring, through discipling, we see people that are passionate about Jesus, that are passionate about Yahweh. Somewhere in their discipleship process, multiple people exemplified Jesus to them, and in doing so, they exemplified a lot of grace and a lot of wisdom, right? I want to invite the youth band back up. And I want to give us an opportunity to reflect whether you are young or old, whether you are a traditionalist or an iGen. I want us to give us an opportunity to reflect how we are growing in grace and knowledge. How are you colliding with Jesus?